One of the things that attracted my family to this church in the first place was the missions commitment of this congregation. And so we're always excited to have missionaries here with us today. We have David Thompson, who's a church planter in Brazil. So he's going to come now and he's going to share with us a report about his ministry, some of the things that are going on, a video we're going to watch, and then he's going to open God's word to us. So David, thanks. Why don't we give David a welcome? Thanks. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. Pastor Andrew, I will never forget his name. Our oldest son's name is Andrew. One of the reasons we are here is to meet your new pastor and his family. And I've had the joy of meeting Laura and Andrew. I'm feeling a little bit... My better half is not here with me. Debbie is back in Kansas City, and strange not being with family with me on some of my trips. This is the first time after, 33 years that we don't have one of our children with us when we're traveling around the different churches. So it's something we have to get used to as we get older, right? The nest gets empty. So, but the grandchildren are coming, and we're going to show you some pictures also of the family in a video presentation. We really enjoy being here at Little Church in the Vale. It's been always a pleasure. I think since the 90s, if I'm not mistaken, we have been together partnering with Reaching the Lost in Brazil. God has been gracious to Debbie and I. We have been privileged to start different churches in Brazil. And as we always say, we work out of a job. We start a church and see people coming up in the church, disciple those people. Some are gifted in leadership, in preaching God's word. Then we turn the work over to the Brazilian pastor. So that is our goal. We don't stay in a church indefinitely. It's a little different than here in the States. You can have, Pastor, how many years you want Pastor Andrew to stay? So a little different for a missionary. Missionary, he starts a work from scratch and trains and teaches and works out of a job and turns the work over to the national worker. And that is God's plan, I believe, for missions. In Brazil, when we say hello or how are you, or greetings from the church in Brazil, it would go like this. Bom dia, eu trago saudações da Igreja do Brasil para a Igreja Little Church in the Vale. Well, that you understood. So that's greetings from the church there in Brazil. We have had the privilege of seeing six of these different churches started. And so we invested our lives in young men and women. And they went on to study in Bible college and graduate and they are now taking over these different works. So what you're going to see here in the beginning of our presentation is some of the people that we poured our lives into, Debbie and I. Debbie has been great in working with the women and we just take them on and mentoring these young men and women. So as we begin to see here, you'll see in the beginning some of the pictures of these pastors that have taken over these different works and other works other than just ours. You will see that the Bible College has had the privilege of seeing since we moved it up the year 2000. So since the year 2000, over 200, I think it's about 211, have graduated and been able to influence the whole region with godly men committed to God first, to good Christian living, commitment to following the Lord, and a commitment to the Word of God and the exposition of the Word of God. So we are very happy and glad to see some of these young. Some of these young men, they're doing better than us older guys. They're a real blessing. The Brazilian pastors have gone on to study. They have been a blessing in various capacities at the Bible College as well as in the local church. So let's just look at this about 8 minutes, and we'll see how this all comes about here. For our reading today, it's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and I'd just like to read through this chapter, okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. The church at Thessalonica was a unique church. We'd like to look at that today. The Bible says, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God the Father. Knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. Let's pause and pray. Father, I want to thank you so much for the reading of your word. We ask that your Holy Spirit would apply these truths to our lives today. Your name would be glorified and honored here among us, as we have already experienced throughout this service this morning. And we just want to give you always the honor and put our lives before you. You would teach us. We desire to learn, and we desire to become more like you, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we always talk about the model or ideal church. Today, there are so many different types of churches that you don't even know where to begin to explain what is Christianity today. Things have changed. You have these mega churches, these huge churches with great big programs and huge activities. You have churches that say, oh, we only can meet in homes. Sometimes they're just homes. Other churches are related more to this prosperity type gospel, where they want to hear something that they would like to tickle their fancy. They want to hear something that makes them content with themselves. Not necessarily hearing the Word of God. They just want to hear something nice on Sunday. So a lot of the messages in churches today are geared toward the needs or what people want to hear. Not necessarily what the Word of God says. So today, when you look out in Christianity, you see so many different types of churches. When the Apostle Paul went out on his missionary journeys, one of his journeys, his second missionary journey, he went toward this area that would be called a modern Europe or northern part of Greece. And there he came to a place called Thessalonica. In reaching there, we see an example of how the Apostle Paul preached. He would first go to the Jews and to the synagogues. He would preach to them, for the gospel first came to the Jew. And upon many times the rejection of the gospel being preached to the Jews, the Jewish people, then he would turn to the Gentiles. And he is called the apostle to the Gentiles. And maybe you can just flip over in Acts chapter 17 how this happened. You can see here, chapter 17, just the beginning of the chapter, how the gospel came to these dear people there in Thessalonica. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, he went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ," or the Messiah. And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women, joined Paul and Silas. And as you go on, you see some of the uproar that happened in the city because of some of these Jews coming to know Christ, and also some Greeks. But as we read in going back to 1 Thessalonians, as we read, he said, "The gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for the sake." So Paul did not present himself. He was not presenting a movement. He was not presenting himself as someone that they had to, you know, make him as the head of the whole system of churches back at that time. No. The Apostle Paul came and he presented the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Jews and to the Greeks. And as he did this, he argued from Scriptures, explaining from Scriptures who Jesus really was. And today, there are so many different things being preached, and we forget the essence and the simpleness of the gospel. What is the gospel? What was this gospel that they received? And what is this gospel that changed their lives? Well, the gospel is not a system of ethics for you to merit salvation. Gospel isn't something that we do to finally God look with favor upon us. The gospel actually shows how sinful we are. And it shows that we really need a Savior, and that without a Savior, we're lost. And the presentation of Jesus Christ being the perfect sacrifice for our sins, and that the penalty was paid for. Either you pay for all in all eternity without Christ, you're going to pay for those sins if you don't receive Him, or you accept Christ's payment. And what Christ did on the cross, that was the essence of the gospel preach. It is not of yourselves. It's not something that you do or that we can do, but it is God's grace poured upon sinful man that repents and receives and believes in Christ with simple faith, and the presence of God in the life of that person that repents from their sins and receives a new life, receives a birth, we're born and regenerated. And no more are we what we were in the past. Today we are different. And the evidence of this church is that they understood the gospel. They understood that Jesus Christ really came for them, and that Jesus Christ is the only solution for their lives. And they repented and they turned from idols. Did you notice the verse there? The manner of entry we had to you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. This change from serving useless and things that were base of this world that could never bring any assurance of salvation, they turned from those pagan gods and believed in the true and living God. Has that happened in your life? I can remember I was 11 years old. I always believed and thought that I was a Christian because mom and dad are always involved in ministry in Brazil. I went down to Brazil when I was 8 months old. And I always saw their ministry and was always admired. I always thought maybe I'm Christian because I'm part of the family. But I remember one time when I was 11, I was in the study, and there was a plaque, and on that plaque or picture, there was a picture of God working through the centuries and working through the different ways, beginning with Genesis and ending with the coming judgment and the new heavens and new earth. And there was a place on that plaque I can remember seeing where it pointed to those whose names are not written in the book of life were cast to the lake of fire. And never I was just a kid, never had I understood that I was among those. I still had not received Christ as my Savior. And I can remember going to my mom and said, "Mom, how can I free myself from this eternal condemnation called in the Bible in Revelations chapter 20, the lake of fire?" And dear mom opened scriptures and shared about those who believe have eternal life, everlasting life. And by God's grace and by His mercy and upon my life that day on the old sofa there at home, Mom and I, we knelt together. And that was a changing point in my life when I received Christ as my Savior. Everything was different from then on. All who understand the gospel, all of us who understand the gospel and who have placed our saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have gone through this of what we were and what we are today, of the things we left behind and the things that God has taught us in His Word, of a new life in Christ. It is a totally new chapter in our lives. These dear ones here in Thessalonica, they experienced true salvation. And one of the greatest needs we have in the Church of God here in our great land of America is a need for true salvation, true believing in Christ, really changed lives. I'm different. I don't live on Monday the way the others live. I don't just go to church to practice church. I live my life for Christ all the days of my life. That's how it should be. But today we have many who simply just church. Don't really have a living growing relationship with Christ, because possibly they've never really had an encounter of believing in Christ and having a life-changing experience in receiving Christ as their Savior. So this church understood that it wasn't the Apostle Paul. It wasn't the way he came with his power of persuasion. But they understood it was the power of the Holy Spirit. It was the Word of God. It was the gospel of Jesus Christ that transformed their lives. So how do we become a model church? How do we become a church that really plays out what God wants from His Word as and works out in our lives, this whole thing of becoming a church that really follows Christ? First of all, we understand the Word, we understand the gospel, and we have been transformed. Amen? We have been changed. There's a life-changing event that happened in our lives. And that makes us to be part of the church of God. Before, we did not know things of the gospel. Before, we did not know the things, the true reality of what it means to live for God. Before, we were lost. Before, we were in darkness. Before, we were blind. And one day, we truly came to saving knowledge in Jesus. Everything changed. Amen for that. Everything changed. True salvation is needed for us to be a church that really loves our Lord. And I'm not just saying about here. I'm talking about, in general, the church of God. I've been in various different churches, really concerned that people are just doing church. There doesn't seem to be a real change in their lives. There doesn't seem to be that commitment to Christ and to living holy lives and lives that are separated to God so that other people might be attracted to the church of God. So many churches, unfortunately, they don't have much to give to the unsaved because they still don't know really personally, the God, their salvation. So, another thing that Apostle said here about this church is that they had three things that were very characteristic of this church. First of all, the work of faith. It was a church of faith. Interesting, work of faith. Almost redundant, huh? Work of faith. They worked out their Christian walk. Their Christian walk was not something that we say on Sunday or something we say, yeah, I'm a Christian. They worked out their faith. Evidence of Christian living, evidence of following God, they, in light of affliction, in light of persecution, they worked out their faith. You know, it wasn't easy to become a Christian back then. It was almost certain suffering. Is almost certain persecution. It was not easy to be a Christian. And there are areas in our world today. I was reading about in Nigeria. The up northern part is more Islam. They came into a village, called out this man's name. And he came out to the front of his house. There were about five of them, all armed. They asked him if he would deny Christ. He said, no, I cannot deny Christ. And they shot him four times. His wife came from inside the house and came out and put him in her lap in his last dying breath, suffering for Christ. Giving your life for Christ, a commitment to the gospel of Jesus Christ. When Christ changes our lives, we are committed. There's an outworking. There's a true outworking of our faith. People will notice. People will look at us, and they will not just see someone saying he's a Christian or saying that he knows God, but through our living and through our walk and through our testimony, they are attracted. What do you have that I don't have? What does this church have that I don't have? And they will come. And we will go. They will see our love. And they will also be attracted to the church of God. In fact, Jesus said that the way that we love one another, that will attract people to know Jesus, know Him. There was another evidence of their labor of love. Now, I'm with Mike here. We're together there where he opened up generously his house. And one of the things Mike told me, you want to know something about this church? They're a loving church. They love me for who I am. Isn't that wonderful? To be known as a church that loves, that's an evidence of true salvation. That's evidence that we truly want to embrace those who come in here and love those people in the community so that they have a desire to know what is it that makes you as this church so different than other churches. Our labor of love, a model church, labor of love. And another evidence of the church being a church that really looked like Christ is that they had patience of hope, glorious hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we live in a world of despair, in a world of difficulties, in a world where they're going through a lot of distress. This world needs a body of people, the body of Christ, that shows hope. We have hope. Our hope is not limited to this world. Our hope is eternal in Christ. And you know, people, they are looking at things around them, and they're seeing that their world is just falling apart. But when they meet a church that loves the Lord and loves the gospel, has been transformed by the gospel of Christ, that is an outworking of their faith, their labor of love, and they see there's a hope much beyond this world, our hope in Christ. My daughter-in-law, her mother passed away on Tuesday. And I was at the family viewing on Friday. And I was together with the family all there around the casket. And there we were. And there were little comments of how Carolyn was a faithful follower of Jesus. How she loved the church. And how she loved her family. How she gave evidence of her faith in Christ. What hope. Reggie was weeping as he came over by me. And I just stood there with him and let him talk. And the assurance of our hope, the assurance that he knew that one day he would be with her. You know, the world needs that. This world is in despair. So a model church not only will be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit and the receiving of Christ as Savior and the confession of sins and repentance and coming to Christ, but also there will be the outworking of faith in that local body. There also will be a labor of love and the evidence of great hope. Great hope being given not only among us when we are needing mutual encouragement. Hey, you know, what a wonderful thing we have in Christ Jesus, our blessed hope. Well, you know, lastly, this church was not a church to just sit in the pews. from what we can see here in scriptures, this model church was a church that became an example to all of Macedonia and Achaia. In fact, it resounded forth. So, you know, back in the Old Testament, it was all the nations coming to Jerusalem, coming to the temple and learning about the true God at the temple. In the New Testament, God changed that around and he says, we go out, right? That's why I'm in Brazil and that's why we go out in the community here. So a great evidence of a church that really loves the Lord is a church that's involved in proclaiming their faith. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. Isn't that wonderful? There are relatives of ours who are lost. There are people that we love who are lost who do not know Christ. There are friends that we know where we work that are lost. They don't know anything about the Lord Jesus Christ. What is an evidence of a church that really models a church? Even in our day, we go out where we are working, where we go to school, where we meet people, in filling stations. I don't know, in any location where we go, we sound forth this gospel. And if we do that, people will come to know Christ. One of the greatest things in Brazil is having these new believers in the church. You know what you call, like, you know, that young and fresh blood? The new believers in the God's church. And the privilege you have as a dedicated follower of Jesus, transformed by the gospel, giving evidence of a different life, the privilege you have and I have, that we have, of sharing that with somebody. And I know there are a lot of people that do not want to create waves, and a lot of people are secret agents. Nobody knows they're Christians. But we don't want to be that type. We want to give evidence in our lives and our conduct and pray that God would open doors. Could I suggest to you something for you to pray in the morning when you get up? God, would you please open doors today? Give me opportunity for me to share what you have done in my life with someone. If we are really seeking God and asking God to give us those opportunities, He will. And what a privilege we have of seeing someone come to know Christ because we have been faithful to our Lord Jesus. I don't know if you've ever had that experience of actually leading someone to come to know Christ. Sometimes we bring them to church and hope that they make a decision here at church. But what a privilege it is for you to just share the gospel with people and see some of these people come to know with friendship at first, not being offensive. Remember, we're trying to build bridges so these people come to know Christ, and then through our lives and through them seeing how we act and how we behave. And of course, you understand there is a commitment there to living godly living, to want to live worthy of our calling. And as people see that in our lives, then doors will start opening up and we can share with different ones, relatives, people that we love, so they come to know Christ. Such is a model church. A church that has been truly transformed by the gospel of God, by the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. A church that gives evidence of that transformation in their work of faith, in their labor of love, in their blessed hope. And a church that sounds forth this gospel to those around. That is a church. That is a church that God wants for us here on earth. And the more that we give evidence of this, the more people will come to know Christ. Just to finish, here it says, at the end of 9 and 10, it says, verse 10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. That is our hope. Do you have that? Is that all right there in your heart? Do you have that great assurance? If you don't have that great assurance in the Lord Jesus, it's a good time to just come to him and say, Father, I need this relationship with you. I want to believe that you can come and live in my life. And I place my complete trust in your Son, Jesus Christ. Come and transform my life. Make me a new creation, a new creature before you. If we do that, that's our starting point. That's a starting point for your life. And then the evidence of that will be shown here in the local church. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the church in Thessalonica. We thank you for them receiving the gospel. Changed completely their lives. They abandoned that old life to believe in you, Father, to the true and living God. And now as a church, we have the great privilege and responsibility of sounding forth our faith to others. Help us in that task. And may we be a church that is an example to many others. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Pastor.